Hey, good morning. We are at the end of Hilchos Megillah, Tafresh Sadi. The end of Tafresh Sadi, Yurchet. That's where we left off. See if Yurchet. Okay, let's read. Megillah b'yudalet u'betetvav. When you read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th, right, depending on what city you live in, tzarich lachzor achar asara. The halacha is you have to try very hard to get a minyan. You want to get at least 10 men. Obviously, you also want to do it in a Beit Knesset, where it's Berovam Hadrat Melech. Even if you have, the Mishnah Berurah points out, but it's well known, even if you have, or everyone agrees, even if you have 100 people in your house, it's better to bring those 100 people to do it in the shul than just to stay in your house. You want the numbers, you want the kehillah to be together, and all this is for Pirsume Nisa. Okay. V'im i'efshar ba'asara korim ota biyachid. So you try and get 10, but if you can't, or the whole shul, right? But if you can't get at least the whole shul or at least all 10, then you read it even biyachid, we're familiar, you read it by yourself with a bracha. Okay? And that's the practical halacha. Okay, let's keep reading. V'yish li'istapek im nashi mitstarfos la'asara. And there's... According to Shulchan Aruch, women are included. They're also part of the mitzvah, Pirsumei Nisa, but the Ramah quotes an opinion that says it might not be the same level as having a full-blown minion. So it's even better to get 10 men. V'im karo ta betzibor. Now, once you read it betzibor, I think the rest of the Ramah we're going to read it, but it's not really halacha l'maisa. Now let's say that Tzibor read it, then a single person missed out. So then Yuchal Likrota Afir Lechatchila Biyachid. So then Lechatchila, an individual, can read it on his own. So the Ramah just pointed out, though, even when a single person does it on his own, he would still read it with a bracha. Again, a yachid always reads it with a bracha, but there's less emphasis on him needing to make sure there's 10 people. If the tzibur, again, this is also questionable. It's always better to have 10, but there's less need for him to gather 10 people if the tzibur as a whole already read it together. Because the city itself already had 10, so now there's less need for the individual to make sure there's also 10. But either way, the individual would read it with the bracha. Now, the Ramah continues, Ukeshiyachid koreota bizmana, when an individual reads it on his own, tzarich levarech aleha, then you have to say the bracha. In other words, if an individual reads it on the 14th or 15th, like always, then of course he says it also with the bracha, even if he's by himself, even if there's no 10 people. All right, fine. That is halakha l'maisa, everyone agrees if it's shelo bizmana, if you would read it on earlier in the month, then you would not say a bracha. And when you read it on the 14th and the 15th, whether you read it with a minyan or without a minyan, you would always say a bracha. Now, just interesting, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have an Purim Meshulash, you live in Yerushalayim, and the 15th falls out on Shabbos, so you don't read on Shabbos, you would read the Megillah on Friday, Erev Shabbos. So the question is that called Bizmana or Shelo Bizmana? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that on that Friday, if an individual will read a Megillah, like a normal Purim Meshulash, if an individual in Yerushalayim reads it on Friday, he would not say a bracha. And that is clearly not the halacha. Okay. Oh, the clear minhag in Yerushalayim is even an individual who reads it on Friday reads it with a bracha, and that's what all the poskim say. For example, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Chazanish, Rav Sameach, Mikrei Kodesh, Ira Kodesh, Rav Migdash, Rav Tukachinsky, Yabia Omer, and others. Okay, so that's, I think that ramps that one up. Let's see. Okay, so let's start. Oh, just to point out, another reason... Oh, no, I think we're going to get to this later. Okay, so just another reason why there's a little bit less of a need, just out of interest, it may just be a Das Yachid from the Tur Yevin, or also Shagas, known as the Shagas Aryeh. He writes, he believes women were not initially chayiv in the mitzvah of Megillah. It only came up later on, and it's called Midivrei Sofrim, years later. Maybe from the times of the Mishnah or Gemara, but it wasn't, but not in either Mishnah or very beginning of the Gemara, maybe Yeshua ben Levi, but it wasn't the original year, and that's that's one opinion, and that's also why you see that women might not have the exact same level of a chiyuv. He also writes the same thing by the difference between the night reading and the morning reading, which I think we're going to get to later. Some make the same similar distinction, that in the morning might be more of a greater, based on Tosfos too, more of a ikar mitzvah during the day versus the night. And that's why, anyway, because one was original, and it was originally established from the first year, only during the day, that's his opinion, and some say. And only later on, in the future years, it was added later on. So it's a difference of Midivrei Kabbalah versus Midivrei Sofer. Okay, let's get into Taf Resh Tzadi Aleph, Dine Ktiva Te Megillah Utefirata. All right, writing the Megillah itself. So Aleph, Ein Kotvin HaMegillah Ela Bedio. That in order to write a kosher Megillah, it must be written with ink, Al Gavil, on parchment, or al klaf, also parchment. Gvil basically means the entire hide, and you just smooth the inside, the part that's facing the body, and you smooth it down a little bit, and that's where you write. Klaf, it's either you can peel it in half, the gvil, the hide, you peel it in half, and you just end up with the inside, the side that faces the muscle, the animal, that's the part that you write on. Nowadays, what's usually done is they just smooth it down so much from the inside that you end up smoothing it down. Instead of peeling it in half, you basically smooth it down to half. And that's the side you write in, on the side that faces the animal, the muscle. Kesefer Torah, just like Hilchos Sefer Torah. And if you wrote it with Me'a Fatzim, which is gallnuts, and Kankantum is vitriol. Also, you mixed in with it gum arabic, and that's your ingredients for making ink. And it's right black. Ktava b'sha'ar minei tzivonim psula. But if you write with other colors, other ingredients, it'll be psula. V'tzricha sirtut katora atzma. And you have to have sirtut. These are the lines. Right? You just, it's like scratching. You scratch into the leather, and you get your lines that way. Now, Mikar Adin, we want to make sure we have lines on every single line. Every line that you write with, the whole way down, whether it's, you know, from 11 to 42, whatever your Megillah is, however many lines it is, every single line is supposed to have sirtut. It's a question if you only, Bedyevid, if you only have sirtut on the top, and so then that helps the sofer to write straight. And then once the top line is straight, every line afterwards, he'll just follow the same line of his previous line, and he can keep writing straight if he's careful. So, anyways, they make them now always fully lined, and that's lechatchila, the only way to do it. But yeah, but that's a machloket. Okay. Let's keep reading. V'ein ha'or shela tzarich, it's out of interest. It's the Beis Yosef who says lechatchila, one line is enough by Megillah. So to the Magen Avraham, but most of the poskim disagree. Ve'ein ha'or shela tzarich la'abed lishma, and you don't have to, and the hide itself, when you prepare it, when you tan it, when you process it, it doesn't have to be done lishma like a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah does have to be done when you actually tan it, that you're doing it the kedusha sefer Torah. Ve'yesh omrim shetzarich ibud lishma, and there is an opinion that says you do have to do Ibud Lishma. I believe that's the Rabbeinu Tam. Yes. Okay. We'll come back to this shortly. All right, so in general, here, let me just, we'll just say right now. The Rishonim, they point out that the halachos of a Megillah have to be generally similar to a Sefer Torah. Okay, but there happens to be a major machlokas, how similar. So according to pretty much almost all the Rishonim, and that's the Psak of the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Shulchan Aruch itself, is that by many of the dinim of the Megillah have to be like the Sefer Torah, but not all. Basically, it's whichever ones that Chazal specified. And the Rabbeinu Tam says to the other extreme, he says, everything must be exactly like a Sefer Torah, unless Chazal specified, it doesn't have to be. Any particular halacha doesn't have to be like a Sefer Torah. So therefore, Chazal didn't specify by tanning. That's one nafkamina. So you see, so some poskim say it has to be tanned, and some say lishma, and some say it does. Rabbeinu Tam says it must be done lishma, but most others say it does not have to be done lishma. The one example that Chazal say that it's different for sure, and that Rabbeinu Tam is going to agree with, because that's in the Gemara, has to do with when you're tying, what's the right word, stitching the different parchments together to make your one long scroll. That's the one thing where it doesn't have to be exactly the same. But we do know of another difference that the Rabbeinu, also I believe the Rabbeinu Tam would agree with, is if you have to have two etzim, two amudim or etzim, when you see inside, an amud means in the etzim, the Aitzei Chaim, there you go, Aitzei Chaim, the wooden poles on each side. Do you have to have one on both sides? So according to, for a Sefer Torah, everyone says you have to have one on every side, otherwise it's puzzle. But when it comes to a Megillah, so we're going to see that the Shulchan Aruch holds only at the end you need one. At the beginning you do not need one. And the Ramah holds, and I believe that Rabbeinu Tam agrees, but I'm not positive, that the Ramah holds, certainly the Ramah holds, and that's the halacha for Ashkenazim, is you don't need to have any wooden pole on either end. It's optional for Ashkenazim. For Sfardim lechatchila, it's not optional, but Bediyevid, it is. Bediyevid, it's still kosher. And Chazon Avadia is one of the sources that it says it's still kosher, even according to the Shulchan Aruch. And one interesting thing to keep in mind with all these halachos of comparing Sefer Torah to Megillah for halachos, the Ran writes in the Megillah, Gamrinan Megillah mi Sefer Torah dafka dvarim haposlim b'Sefer Torah. So the only, if something by a Sefer Torah makes a completely pasal, a filu b'diyavid, then by a Megillah it's going to be pasal. Again, it depends which halachos. It's not so simple. You have to each item by itself, but that's a general rule. But by Megillah, yesh lahachshir afilu lechatchila. But for anything that is not posel by a Sefer Torah, we say, okay, lechatchila should be this way, but bediyeved, it wasn't done that way, and it's still kosher by a Sefer Torah. So then he holds lechatchila, it's kosher by a Megillah. So that's, and El Yeraba, Aruch HaShulchan, Chazon Avadia, all follow that run. Okay, let's continue reading. Bet. Haytak tuva al hanayar, you write it on a piece of paper, or she'enu me'ubad, or leather hide that's not processed, or shiktava kuti or apikoris, or it's written by basically an apikoris, a heretic. Psula, it's puzzle, nothing to, you can't do anything to fix it. Okay. Vedina kesefer Torah le'inyan, it has the same halakha Megillah as a Sefer Torah, regarding hekef kevil, that every letter must be surrounded by parchment, right? That you don't write a letter that goes to the end of the page. V'chatotrot chetin, and the way we write our chetin, it's like the vav and a zayin, or whatever the halakha is, two zayinin. Utlatin ahin, and we have the hayz, the kufin and the kufs, they're hanging, they're separate, the legs. V'chol gufos, hotiot, betzirotan, v'chaserot, v'yeterot. All of these halachos are the same. Basically, the letters and all those parts. And, you know, you can't have letters touching. And okay. So all those halachos are the same. And, okay, let's keep reading. Haga, gam tzarich lakotva min haktav. The Rama adds the halacha that everyone agrees with, just wasn't written in the Shulchan Aruch itself, that you have to also, when you write a Megillah, you can't write it ba'al peh, it has to be written min haktav. You have to look, now what you're looking at could be a puzzle. Okay, you could be looking at shkufim, it's like those clear tracings when you, if you want to write on lights for a sofer, you can use those, you can read from a chumash. What you're reading from doesn't have to be kosher. So it's an interesting story of, but you can't write your kosher Megillah ba'al peh. Even if you have a good memory, you can't just write it down. So the Gemara Megillah and Yerchet asks, but we know by Rabbi Meir, he wrote, he was traveling, and he was out of town, and he didn't have a Megillah with him. So on Yudalit apparently, or very close to it, he decided he wasn't going to get a Megillah, he realized. So he wrote his own Megillah and read the Megillah on Purim, and the Gemara says he was Yotze. It's also quoted in Midrash Rabbah and Breishis. A couple different versions of how it was mutter for... So the Gemara has a couple reasons, and the Midrash gives a couple reasons. One of them overlaps. So there's three different explanations how it was mutter for Rabbi Meir to do this against the Beferush Din. So one of the opinions, which we do hold lehalacha, it's quoted by the Ran and the Shach, that bishat tadchak, you are allowed to write. You have no choice. You are allowed. There's no other, you know, in Beira. So then, for that year, you can write a Megillah Baal Peh, use it that year, and then I guess you have to get rid of it for the next year when you come back to the Jewish community. So that's one teretz it gives. Another one it says, well, Rabbi Meir is different, because he had such a photographic memory. It was to him there was no difference of looking at a chumash or looking or just using his own memory. That doesn't apply to us, it says. And the other clever etza that he did was he wrote an entire Megillah Baal Peh. That first one was puzzle, and then he used that one to write a whole second Megillah, and so that second Megillah was called Min HaKtav, because the first one's allowed to be a puzzle. All right, so that's how Rabbi Meir solved his dilemma.
Also, he was a sofer.
He was a sofer? Mm-hmm. Well, by definition, that turned him into a sofer. I don't know if that was his first time or not. Okay, that was his profession, you're saying. Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Ulahotzi, and the Ramah continues, Ulahotzi kol teva mipiv kodem sheikh tevena, and lechatkila, you should say every word as you write it, as you're looking at it, Minaktav kamo b'sefer Torah. V'osin kol parshiyoteh stumot, and you should make all of the parshas stumot. V'imasan petuchos psula, and if you made some of them a petucha where it just goes to the end of the line, then it makes a pasul. But yavad ein liv sol megillah mishum chaseros v'yaseros. But if a person makes a mistake, in other words, you're supposed to do all the same chaseros, the letters according to the Masorah and all the way it's supposed to be. But if you mess up, make a mistake with the chaseros and yaseros, it doesn't puzzle the Megillah completely. Dilogara mihish mitba sofer otiot v'kshera. As we already learned, that even if you wrote a Megillah and it's missing many, many letters, up to 49%, it's still a kosher Megillah. Okay. Utsricha amud besofa v'chalak barosha kedei lehakifa bo. So this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that you must have at the end amud, I mean some kind of an Eitz Chaim, a rod, a piece of plastic, a piece of metal, could be anything, l'maisa, that at the end, and there has to be enough plain, clear cloth at the end that can at least wrap around the thin little pole, that's not a big deal. And then at the beginning, you also have to have a tchalak, a space, empty cloth, a little bit in the beginning, just enough to go around, which again is not that much, what we might call an amud or a column. Basically, that's how much you need, or a bit more, to wrap around your Megillah. Use what? Yeah, that's what Sfaradim do. Sure. V'yesh, but Chazon Ovadia says, if you don't have it, b'dievet, it's still a kosher Megillah. V'yesh omrim shetzrichin tagin, and some say you have to put on tagin. That's the Maram B'Shem, that's Rabbeinu Tam, because the Rabbeinu Tam goes to the extreme chumra of it has to be like a Sefer Torah. V'yesh omrim she'ein atzricha, and some say it doesn't need, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, it's better lechatchila. It's still, I mean, depends how you want to define the words lechatchila and bedyevet. It's still kosher lechatchila if you don't, but lechatchila you want to try and make it better. So, okay. Haga v'nagu letaiga, and the minag is to do all the little crowns and little, okay. Gam nagu shlo la sod la amud klal besofa, and the minag has become not to make an amud all the way at the end, like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Let's see. Okay, no, maybe we'll continue. I'm just going to point out another halacha you're familiar with. For a Sefer Torah, it doesn't have to be written kesidran, in order. It could be written out of order. So same too by a Megillah. And that's why most beginners, Sofrim, they always start from a Megillah, because they don't have to worry about making a mistake with Hashem's name, and they don't have to worry about kesidran, which applies only by tefillin and mezuzah. They also start somewhere in writing, usually in the middle, so that by the time they get more and more practice, the ketav is going to be the nicest. So then they start that. So they save their nicest for the beginning, so that when people come to look at it and start reading, it looks the nicest. I know that I was taught the same way for Megillah, but also for laning, to start laning from the end, so that when you start off and everyone first pays attention, you want to sound your best. For a bar mitzvah boy. Okay. Gimel. Aseret b'nei Haman. Tzarech l'kotva k'shira. Now, Aseret b'nei Haman, so I send out a picture in the WhatsApps, the way it's supposed to look, that it's supposed to be written with columns. On one side, you have all the names, and on the other side, you have all the ve'es. Let's keep reading. V'lo k'sha'ar shirot she'chalak al gabei k'tav. But it's different than normally a normal shira in the Torah. Let's say Az Yashir we're familiar with. Normally you have, I'm not sure the right way to put it, but it's like alternating. So you're having one column with the words on one side and then blank in the middle, and then the other one is the opposite. So it's like staggered. Right, so I'll read that in a second. We'll say that in a sec. Ela maniach halak ben ktav l'ktav. But when it comes to Aseret b'nei Haman in Megillah, you have two columns of writing, and it's halak, it's completely clear in the middle. That everybody agrees with, right? That's the Gemara, and that's everyone understands the Gemara the same way, on that part. Ve'im, and this is similar like Hazinu, we'll get to that. Ve'im lo asa kein psula. And if you didn't do it this way, so it's neged the Masorah, and it's pasul. The Gemara says it has to be ariach al gabei ariach, and levena al gabei levena. A levena is a brick, and an ariach is a half a brick. So how do you understand that? So again, everyone agrees that it's going to look basically how it looks in the picture I sent out. We have one column of names and one column of the eight. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which is the ariach and which is the levena? There's a little, could be possibly a little nafkamina lehalacha, but first of all, it's the first thing, it's basically academic, that the wording, here, Tosfos will say both opinion, the Ariach and the Levena are both written letters, okay? And the space in between is just a space. So Levena is a full brick and Ariach is a half a brick. So how much, so therefore the words are longer and the Ve'es is only three letters, they're shorter. So the column of Ve'es is the Ariach and the column of all the names, that's the Levena, that's Tosfos. And according to him, and according to the halacha, the minimum space would be the space of nine letters. Whenever a sofer has to write a Megillah, in order for it to be kosher, there must be a space of nine letters, because that's the minimum space for any parsha, like for a stuma. That's the minimum. The chatchila, it should be the space that it takes to write asher three times, bedyevet nine times a yud or a vav, whatever. Okay. That's halacha l'maisa. Now, according to Rashi, he says the ktav is the sides, either one of the ketavim on either side, those are the ariach, and the space is the levena. And that space, a levena, is a full brick, is bigger than an ariach, a small brick. So he points out that the space in between must be, the words he uses, kiflaim, of the ketav. So one pshat is, it just means it needs to be, it just means it has to be more, which turns into the same opinion as Tosfos, it has to be 9 letters. Another pshat is it must be, the space must be at least double a word, one of the names, which again, lemaisa, it's not a big difference, but there is a, but it must be 2 times. So, one, well, it's about the same. You take the column of the names and you double that word, and that's how much the space has to be. And usually it's not a problem. There's another opinion in Rashi, again, you don't have to follow this, but there's another opinion in Rashi, you take all the letters together, in other words, the name and ve'et, and you put them together, and then that space has to be at least double all the ketiva on that line. So